I'll recite the verse first. Kanchit kalam atha vatsit. Please repeat. 1:13:14. I don't know which. Can I? Page 18. Kanchit kalam atha vatsit. Satkuto devavat sukham. Bhatu jishtasya shreyas kud. Sarvesham sukham avaham. Kanchit kalam atavatsit. Satkuto devavat sukham. Bhatu jishtasya shreyas kud. Sarvesham sukham avahan. Please recite. Kanchit kalam atha vatsit. Satkuto devavat sukham. Bhato jeshtasya shreyas kut. Sarvesham sukham avaham. Kanchit kalam atavatsit. Satkuto devavat sukham. Bhato jeshtasya shreyas kut. Sarvesham sukham avaham. Kanchit kalam atavatsit. Satkuto devavat sukham. Bhatu jeshtasya shreyas kut. Sarvesham sukham avahan. Kanchit. For a few days. Kalam, time. Atha, thus. Avatsit, resided. Satkirtaha, being well treated. Devavat, just like a godly personality. Sukham, amenities. Bhartuhu, of the brothers. Jeshtasya, of the elder. Shreyah kut, for doing good to him. Sarvesham, all others. Sukham, happiness. Avahan, made it possible. Okay. Translation. Thus Mahatma Vidura, being treated like a godly person by his kinsman, remained there for a certain period just to rectify the mentality of his elder brother, and in this way bring happiness to all the others. Purport. Can we read the purport?
Saintly persons like Vidura must be treated as well as denizens from heaven. In those days, denizens of heavenly planet used to visit homes like that of Maharaj Yudhishthira, and sometimes persons like Arjuna and other used to visit higher planets. Narada is a spaceman who can travel unrestrictedly, not only within the material universe, but also in the spiritual universe. Even Narada used to visit the palace of Maharaj Yudhishthira, and what to speak of other celestial demigods. It is not only the spiritual culture of the people concerned that makes interplanetary travel possible. Even the present body, Maharaj Yudhishthira, therefore received Vidura in the manner of reception offered to the demigod.
Mahatma Vidura had already adopted the renounced order of life, and therefore he did not return to his paternal palace to enjoy some material comforts. He accepted out of his own mercy what was offered to him by Maharaj Yudhishthir, but the purpose of living in the palace was to deliver his elder brother, Dhritarashtra, who was too much materially attached. Dhritarashtra lost all his state and descendants in the fight with Maharaj Yudhishthir, and still, due to a sense of helplessness, he did not feel ashamed to accept the charity and hospitality of Maharaj Yudhishthir. On the part of Maharaj Yudhishthir, it was quite in order to maintain his uncle in a befitting manner, but acceptance of such magnanimous hospitality by Dhritarashtra was not at all desirable. He accepted it because he thought that there was no alternative.
Vidura particularly came to enlighten Dhritarashtra and give him a lift to the higher status of spiritual cognition. It is the duty of enlightened souls to deliver the fallen ones, and Vidura came for that reason. But talks of spiritual enlightenment are so refreshing that while instructing Dhritarashtra, Vidura attracted the attention of all the members of the family, and all of them took pleasure in hearing him patiently. This is the way of spiritual realization. The message should be heard attentively, and if spoken by a realized soul, it will act on the dormant heart of the conditioned soul. And by continuously hearing, one can attain the perfect stage of self-realization.
Hare Krishna. So, in Monday's class, Kalakanta Prabhu has already explained what is happening now. So, I'm not going to get into the story, but we will focus on the topic that is given today, spiritual discussion. If you look at the purport in the last section, Prabhupada is explaining the significance and how one should have spiritual discussion, what is the attitude one should have, and what is the effect of spiritual discussion. So, today, before we see what is the power of spiritual discussion, I want to first explain and make it clear what is the meaning of spiritual discussion, what type of discussions constitute spiritual discussion. So in the introduction to Krishna book, Prabhupada explains that there are two types of spiritual discussion. One is topics that relates to activities of Krishna, his incarnations, or the activities of his devotees. Okay, these are one type of spiritual discussion. And second is topics spoken by Krishna, the teachings given by Krishna, and if we discuss about it, that is also spiritual discussion. So there are two things, one topic about Krishna and topic spoken by Krishna. And topic spoken by Krishna is specifically Bhagavad Gita. Okay, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks so many different topics about living entities, material nature, about God. All these things, if you understand them and it brings us close to Krishna, then it is considered spiritual discussion. Okay, now, I have a question. Can topics related to politics, economic, social topics be considered spiritual? Okay, thank you. Any?
Yeah, if it's progressive for human society to attain spiritual realization, like the Varnashram.
Okay. Prabhu?
I think it can be spiritualized, but there's two different levels. One is that, I just like politics, so I'll try to think, okay, Krishna's the ability in man, or try to dovetail what I like. And then there's topics which are favorable to Krishna as he likes. So, for example, in First Canto, fifth chapter, 15th verse in the purport, Prabhupada mentions that Mahabharata is insufficient to revive our Krishna consciousness. And that will more or less we just become attracted to politics, economics like this, because Krishna's pastimes are sidelined. So therefore there's necessity of writing Srimad Bhagavatam. So they're both spiritual, but there's different levels, just like in Bhagavad Gita, there's secret, more secret, most secret, and most secret along.
Okay.
Hare Krishna. If it's these topics are conducive for God realization, or self-realization, then it should be considered spiritual.
Okay. Okay, thank you. All of you gave a similar answer. And there's a nice episode in the 16th chapter, which we'll be reading in the future, when Parikshit Maharaj was about to punish a Shudra who was pretending like a king and torturing a cow. There was an incident, he's going to punish him. So the sages, headed by Shaunaka Rishi, put forward a question to Sutta Goswami. They asked, what happened to this person? Why is he going to punish? So this may appear as though, in one sense, why are we interested about what's happening to the Shudra? But we'll see how they ask the question, okay? This is what Shaunaka Rishi said. My dear, why did Maharaj Parikshit simply punish him since he was the lowest of the Shudras, having dressed as a king and having struck a cow on the leg? Then he qualified his statement. He asked, please describe all these incidents if they relate to the topics of Lord Krishna. Okay, then the purport Prabhupada explains this very nicely. He said, although hearing about a Shudraka who was a cheat and insulter of the cow was not very interesting to the great rishis, they nevertheless wanted to hear about it to see if the event had any connection with Lord Krishna. They were simply interested in the topics of Lord Krishna, for anything that is dovetailed with the narration of Krishna is worth hearing. There are many topics in Bhagavatam about sociology, politics, economics, cultural affairs, etc. But all of them are in relation with Krishna, and therefore all of them are worth hearing. Krishna is the purifying ingredients in all matter, regardless of what they are. So that is the key point. If any topic has relation to Krishna, that is pleasing to the devotees. On the other hand, in the fifth chapter, Narada Muni, same chapter as Prabhu mentioned, told Vyasadev that even spiritual topics of self-realization, which are completely free from all material affinities, if they are not connected to Krishna, they are not considered to be spiritual. Devotees don't relish them. Okay? Knowledge of self-realization, even though free from all material affinities, does not look well if devoid of conception of the infallible God. Okay, so in conclusion, spiritual discussion means topics that brings us closer to Krishna, topics that has connection with Krishna, Krishna Katha. And everything else, whether they are spiritual or material, if they are not connected to Krishna, then they are not considered to be spiritual discussion for devotees. Okay? Okay, now we go to the second section. What is the power or the effect of spiritual discussion? Okay, if you look at it superficially, what is the difference about talking about activities of Krishna and gossiping about someone else's activity? Okay, we speak about how Krishna was stealing butter or cheating and all these things, compared to talking about, you know, what happened to my neighbor yesterday. He bought a new television, he was enjoying this, and he was having this whatever. How does it differ?
I think talking about Krishna's activity, it satisfies the soul, and gossiping about other people, it satisfies your ego.
Okay, thank you. That's the answer.
Yes, I was going to say that.
Same thing.
Also, that discussing discussing Krishna's activities and pastimes liberates us from bondage, mm-hmm. and discussing other things in Kangaroo.
Okay. Olivia, you wanted to say something? Okay, then.
Engaging your mind and your senses in topics not related to Krishna makes you more attracted to the material energy. And engaging your mind and senses in talking about Krishna makes you more attracted to Krishna.
Yeah. So sometimes people in lower modes like passion and ignorance, they take some mental pleasure in gossiping. Okay, but such activity cannot give real pleasure to the soul. It cannot really satisfy what we are actually hankering for. On the other hand, topics about Krishna, it does not only satisfy the need of our emotional, mental, intellectual needs. It does satisfy all this, but it also gives something which is beyond this. gives the real pleasure for the soul. It gives the real satisfaction. And everyone, whether one is in mode of ignorance, passion, goodness, or free from all three modes of material nature, everyone can take advantage of the discussion of Krishna and they can get the real pleasure as long as it's heard properly, as Prabhupada is explaining in the purport today. It's heard properly from a proper source. These topics are refreshing and they give the real pleasure to the soul. There's another point I want to discuss also. The fact that Krishna's discussion about Krishna's topic or even contemplating about Krishna's activity, it's not equivalent to imagining. Okay, if I sit here and I think what I was doing yesterday, I'm simply imagining. But if you think about Krishna, it's real. The thought about Krishna is real. It's not imaginary. To understand this point, I'll tell a short story. There's a nice story in Brahma Vaivatara Purana, which is explained in Nectar of Devotion also, to show how the thoughts about Krishna has real effect. Once there was a Brahmana in a city called Prashtinapur. Okay, this Brahmana was very poor, but he was a great devotee of the Lord. He was completely devoted to Krishna. And he wanted to worship the Lord in a very opulent manner. But because he was poor, he could not. So what he used to do is, he used to sit down and meditate upon serving the Lord. In his meditation, he'll do the most opulent things. He'll get the water from all the rivers. He'll have most opulent paraphernalia to worship. And in this way, he performs his worship to the Lord simply by his thought. So one day, in his thought, he was cooking a sweet rice for Krishna. So after cooking the sweet rice, he wanted to offer it to Krishna. And before offering, sweet rice is nicer when it is colder, not hot. So he wants to make sure the rice is cold. So what he did was, he took his finger and he put inside the rice to test whether it's cold or not. And what happened? It burned his finger. The rice was hot and it burned. So he came out from the meditation and he saw his finger was really burnt. So this story strikes to me that how the thought about Krishna is not something, if we just think about putting our finger in a fire, it's not going to burn our hand. But because he was really attentive in his thought about serving Krishna, the effect was so real. Okay? So, in our life also, when we think about Krishna, okay, don't worry, our finger won't be burnt. That much is okay. But it will burn all the sinful reactions in our heart. It will purify us. We'll see real effect in our life by simply thinking about Krishna. Okay? And eventually it will give us more faith in devotional service and finally it gives us pure devotion to Krishna. So this is the effect of thinking about Krishna. It has real effect in changing our character and bringing us closer to Krishna. Okay? So as we have discussed, there are five effects about thinking of Krishna. First, it is pleasing. It gives satisfaction for ourselves. Second, it purifies ourselves, frees us from our sinful reactions and sinful desires. Thirdly, it gives us, it increases our faith in Krishna. And then it gives more attraction towards devotional service. And finally, gives us pure devotional service itself. Okay, this point is very nicely explained by Kapila Dev in, there's a nice verse in 3:25-25. We'll read that verse. Can someone recite it? Damodar Prabhu. We can recite together actually. This verse actually explains the importance of having discussion about Krishna, spiritual discussion in the association of devotees. So it says, firstly, Bhavanti Hrit Karna Rasayana Kata. It's so pleasing to the ears. Okay? It gives so much pleasure, as what we discussed. It gives real satisfaction. And then the second effect is Aswapavargo Vartmani. It also gives us liberation, frees us from our material attachment and knows our sinful desires. Then once this has happened, then Shraddha. Shraddha means faith in Krishna is developed. Rati. Rati means attraction for devotional service. And Bhakti, devotional service itself. One by one is obtained. So this is the effect of hearing. What are the five things that I mentioned? satisfaction, pleasing and satisfaction, purification, attraction to devotional service. Before that, we get faith and then devotional service. Okay? So, this is the power and effect of hearing topics about Krishna. Okay. Now, the third thing. First, we saw what is spiritual discussion, which means discussing topics related to Krishna or topics spoken by Krishna. Second, the effect. And third section, which is the final section, I'm going to discuss how to have spiritual discussion among devotees and others. Okay? We can see this in three ways. There are three different ways we can have spiritual discussion depending on the person whom we are relating to. I have divided it into three categories. One, discussing with juniors, with equal, and with senior. Junior means those who are new, the newcomers or people in general who are interested to discuss. Okay, with them we have in a certain way. And then second is with equal, with fellow devotees, friends, devotees. And third, with more advanced devotees. Okay, let's look at the first thing. How to have spiritual discussion with juniors. Should we approach them with the attitude, "Oh, I know everything, you don't know, so now I'm going to teach you. Listen to me." Should that be the attitude, or what is the attitude one should have? Chaitanya Mataji, can you explain this? Because she always talks with new devotees. Oh yeah, yeah, Michael. What should be the mood that we should cultivate when we...
If we're equal, or if we're speaking to someone that's junior, what did you say?
What is your question again?
Yes. Your question. I'm asking what you...
Junior, a new person.
Well, I always, when I'm speaking with people, I mean, I saw that, you know, that if I explain to them what I do know, but in the way that we're learning together, mm-hmm. not in the sense that I'm teaching you something, but sharing, like, as a friendly way, so then people will be more attracted than if I just sit there and go, "Dehi no smenyata, dehi govram yomanamja," you know, they'll be like, "Whoa, what, you know, they might, you know, you might be impressed with your own voice, but like they might not, you know, understand anything." So you have to make it palatable. I know Vala was saying when he first preached to me, mm-hmm. I never even knew it was Bhagavad Gita for 6 months. And mm-hmm. also I had no idea that even Srila Prabhupada was Srila Prabhupada. He always said, "My pappy told me this, my pappy told me that." And I just thought his pappy was the most intelligent person in the whole world. So by the time I found out everybody was Hare Krishnas that were around me, I had no idea. My best buddy that I hung out with was a guru coolie. He had no idea he even believed in Krishna or anything. But because they were so sweet to me, I became a devotee. So I find that works the best.
Yeah, I like what Mataji told very much. Firstly, she mentioned that we share. Okay, so that's the attitude of preaching. I've experienced this. It's helping me. Okay, now I'm seeing someone else who's interested. I want to share my experience with others. Okay, and also, it's also a process of, there's a process of learning. Actually, the important thing, we must always feel that I'm serving. Okay, the attitude that I'm a servant, I'm always a servant. This is a service Krishna has given me to explain about his topics to someone who's interested. So, of course, compassion is also there. Compassion in the genuine interest to share my experience with others. So, this is how we have discussion with juniors. It's never done with arrogance, with attitude, "I know more than others." Okay, I would also want to make one more point. Sometimes there's a difference between making discrimination and making judgment. Okay, when someone comes new, it doesn't mean that person is lower than us in devotional service. He could be a pure devotee, he could be in any status, we have no idea. Okay, so we shouldn't make any judgment. If ever we want to make judgment, the only judgment is everyone is more advanced than me. That's the only judgment we should make. And of course, it's difficult, but we should strive for only that point. But for the sake of interactions and dealings with devotees, we need to make discrimination. So that discrimination is needed just for the sake of interacting. How I should interact is, if Prabhupada enters here and he's newly coming, we would teach him also. So it doesn't mean we are looking down or anything like that. So there's no superiority thing. It's the attitude of sharing. Okay? In chapter 18 of Bhagavad Gita, anyone has any comment on this? Okay, I meant what I'm trying to say is someone comes newly. We should keep in a corner of our heart, one part of our heart, that this person might be even a pure devotee of the Lord. Okay, he's just taking the role of newly coming, and so we shouldn't get into judgment that, oh, he's new, he doesn't know anything.
If you want to be heard in the back, you have to put these mics up to your mouth.
Okay, thank you. Actually, that's the real meaning of compassion, that we're genuinely interested in that person. We are genuinely interested in that person. And when we are interested, we want to hear them first. Otherwise, we just want to say what I want to say. So it's important to hear them and understand their needs and then present Krishna consciousness accordingly. Is that what you are trying to say? Thank you.
The element of kindness, I don't know if it's same as compassion, but some kindness for the juniors or new people has to be there.
Prabhupada writes it, I'm not ashamed to admit that I only became Krishna conscious by hearing from my spiritual master. And so there's something else about juniors that I mentioned. It's coming now.
Okay, I want to end this part by one verse that Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, how much he appreciates this attitude of explaining to others. Okay? In 1868, Krishna says, 68 and 69, Krishna says, for one who explains the supreme secret to devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end he will come back to me. Then he says, there's no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. So it's very pleasing to Krishna when we explain this to others. Okay, that is first, how to deal with juniors. Second, how to deal with equals. How do we have spiritual discussion with those who are devotees, like among ourselves?
By sharing our realizations, what we experience.
Yeah, sharing our realization. What is the key word? In what mood do we share? Friendship. Okay? That is the key word. With equal, we develop friendship. We discuss in a very friendly way. We share our realization. We reveal our heart. We can express our doubt. And we can, it's an equal discussion. And this is Krishna explains about this in 10.8 of Bhagavad Gita. Anyone knows the verse? Pachita Prana Bodha Yantha Parasparam Kata Yantas Chamam Nityam Tushan Ticha Raman Ticha. There are two important words here. Tushan Ticha, Raman Ticha. This is the discussion is held in a way that enlightens each other and also gives pleasure to each other. So in that way, we discuss Krishna Katha. No, we enlighten each other and we also take pleasure in that discussion. Okay, so this is how we discuss with equals. Anyone wants to comment on this?
I just wanted to tell a story. Srila Prabhupada was in Dallas and a young man who was coming around the temple, he was a bus driver and he'd run over a child. And he was very distraught about it, killed the child. So he was in the darshan with Srila Prabhupada, and then he asked Prabhupada this question. He said, I had this accident. What should I do? And all the devotees were saying, don't bring this to Prabhupada. Don't bring it. And Prabhupada wanted to hear it. And he started asking him all about the accident. Were you doing this? Were you doing that? What happened? And he just patiently heard the young man out. And then at the end he said, no, you followed all the procedures. You will be acquitted from this. You haven't done anything wrong. So this was the point that you were making earlier, to be able to listen to people and understand them first.
Thank you, Prabhu. Okay, now we come to the... If there's no more comment on equals, now we come to the third thing, listening to senior, okay? I would like to go to a verse in Bhagavad Gita. In chapter 4, text 34, we can learn how one should hear from a senior devotee, from one who is much more advanced than us. Damodar Prabhu, can you recite the verse? Tadvidi. Okay. So, this is the verse. I'll go to the translation, Prabhu. So, Krishna is saying here, just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Okay. In hearing from senior, the first important thing is we should identify what is the qualification about the senior. If one is not, we shouldn't be listening to. I mean, we should first know that a person is qualified. Okay. It's very important that he's a devotee of Krishna, not anyone. And what is the qualification of one who can impart spiritual knowledge? I want two qualifications. Yes, they have a spiritual master. They must come in the disciplic succession. And second, spiritual, as stated in this verse, they must have seen the truth.
In terms of their spiritual master's instructions and words, based upon that, they haven't added anything or subtracted anything. So they're giving you exactly what their spiritual master gave to them.
Yeah. When they come in a disciplic succession, it also means that they are just being a transparent medium for their spiritual master. And this way it's connected to Krishna. Okay, and then now that is the qualification of the person who is going to impart the knowledge. And what is the how should one approach that person? The verse says that there are two things one should do. Submissive inquiry and render service. Okay, let's look at each of them. Do you think that spiritual life encourages us to inquire or not to inquire? Okay. So if you look in Bhagavad Gita, its doubts are always compared to demons. And the process of questioning, putting forward the doubt, is equivalent to killing the demon. And the entire scripture is based on the process of asking question and getting the answer, Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. So this is very much emphasized in Vedic literature, Vedic system of education, that one should ask question. But if you look at the purport, Prabhupada explains very nicely that there are two types of question one can ask. One is called submissive inquiry, and the other one Prabhupada calls it absurd inquiry. Okay? Submissive inquiry means asking genuine questions with real intention. I want to learn, I want to change my life, and this person knows. So with that attitude, we put forward our doubt and we clearly try to understand what the person says and imbibe it in our life. So this type of inquiry is encouraged. On the other hand, what is absurd inquiry? Just asking challenging questions.
Yeah. Or to show one's knowledge, mm-hmm. Or a loaded political question, you want a certain answer, so you get a certain.
Okay. So yeah, these are different ways, no? Just challenging, sometimes Prabhupada used the word intellectual gymnastic. Okay? I'll tell a story about challenging question. Once Prabhupada was giving a class, and his audience were, most of them were hippies, were addicted to the drug. And they had this idea that taking drug and the hallucination one gets from drug is equivalent to spiritual realization. So Prabhupada was actually talking against this, and then he told them, actually by chanting Hare Krishna, the pleasure you're getting is much higher than the pleasure you can get by taking drugs. And most of them weren't happy. And one person raised up his hand and he asked a very challenging question. He asked Prabhupada, are you sure the pleasure of chanting is much higher than the pleasure of taking drugs? Prabhupada told, yes. Then he asked, have you ever taken drug in your life? Prabhupada told, no, I've never taken drug in my life. Then he snapped his finger and he asked, if you have never taken drug in your life, how do you know that the pleasure of chanting is better than the pleasure of taking drug? And everyone in the audience clapped. They thought, okay, now Prabhupada is done. And the devotees were also a bit panicked. But Prabhupada was very, very calm. No, he just looked at the audience, he looked at his devotees, and he told, I've never taken drugs, but my disciples have taken drugs. And he told, they will answer your question. So this is challenging question. No, there's no real reason to learn anything, just to corner the person and defeat. But of course, Prabhupada was very intelligent. And what did the disciple answer? Anyone knows what the answer given? Yeah, then it became a big slogan, chant and be high forever. And many people started chanting because of this. I just want to illustrate what is a challenging question, okay? But of course, with a pure devotee like Prabhupada, anyone can benefit. Even someone approaches with this attitude sometimes can benefit. But for real, genuine spiritual progression, such attitude is condemned. Okay? Prabhupada said both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. Then he said, inquiry and submission constitute proper combination for spiritual understanding. Okay, why is blind following condemned? What's wrong if we just follow blindly? Very nice answer. We won't be able to share. Yeah, so we won't be able to share. As a result, our fate also will become... when someone challenges us, they can make confuse us. Yeah. Sentiment. Philosophy without religion, without knowledge becomes without knowledge. Yeah, so that's actually one of the primary important difference between modern education and Vedic education. Yeah, as she mentioned. Any other comment? Yeah, I was waiting that answer from Mataji. Yeah, blind follow the blind, or what's the thing? Fall in the well. So, yeah, when we blindly follow, if the tendency to follow blindly, we may follow someone who's teaching us the wrong thing also. So it's important to, as Prabhupada says, it's important to ask proper question and get a proper understanding. Okay, that is submissive inquiry. When we are having spiritual discussion with senior, we do submissive inquiry. Second thing is service. Service is also important. There's a nice story when there was a scholar from the Hindu University of Banaras. He's a wise dean or something. He came to meet Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he had some spiritual doubts, and he knew that Bhaktisiddhanta was the greatest spiritual scholar at that point of time. So when he came, he wanted to ask that question and clarify his doubt. Bhaktisiddhanta told him, I'll talk to you later. Maybe you can go to he told him, go to the kitchen and ask my disciples. They can answer your question. And this scholar thought, okay, my question is so complicated that if anyone can answer, I think only he will be able to answer. Anyway, because he's telling me, I'll just go to the kitchen and talk to his disciples. So he went to the kitchen and he wanted to talk to the disciples. They told him, oh, we are busy washing the pots. If you want, you can you can serve. You can help us to wash the pots. So the scholar thought, okay, while rather than waiting, I'll just wash the pots. And he did some service in the temple. And after some time, he came back and Bhaktisiddhanta asked him, so have your questions been answered? If not, we can discuss now. And he told him, actually, I didn't even specifically ask about this question to your disciple. Just while doing the service and interacting with them, all my doubts are gone. So that's the power of service. Actually, service, it really makes our heart, it makes our heart like a sponge to absorb the knowledge. If we don't do it, it's so hard that sometimes we hear many times also we are not going to understand. So that's why it's very much emphasized. Inquiry submissively and also serving the pure devotees and the mission of the pure devotees. It's a very potent way to have spiritual discussion with seniors. Oh yeah, there's another nice... Actually, we can read the purport of this verse. It's a very short purport. Someone can read? 434. Someone can read, please.
The path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult. The Lord, therefore, advises us to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession from the Lord himself. No one can be a bona fide spiritual master without following this principle of disciplic succession. The Lord is the original spiritual master, and a person in the disciplic succession can convey the message of the Lord as it is to his disciple. No one can be spiritually realized by manufacturing his own process, as is the fashion of the foolish pretenders. The Bhagavatam 6.3.19 says, Dharman tu shakshat bhagavat pranitam. The path of religion is directly enunciated by the Lord. Therefore, mental speculation or dry arguments cannot help one lead to the right path. Nor, by independent study of book knowledge, can one progress in spiritual life. One has to approach a bona fide spiritual master to receive the knowledge. Such a spiritual master should be accepted in full surrender, and one should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant without false prestige. Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding. Unless there is submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. One must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master. And when he sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. In this verse, both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. Not only should one hear submissively from the spiritual master, but one must get a clear understanding from him in submission and service and inquiries. A bona fide spiritual master is by nature very kind toward the disciple. Therefore, when the student is submissive and is always ready to render service, the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries becomes perfect.
That is spiritual discussion. Okay, now we have seen three categories. With juniors, the keyword is compassion and sharing our experience. With equals, friendship. With advanced devotees, with seniors, inquiries and submission and service. Okay? So, how about the fourth category of people? Those who are not interested, those who are inimical to devotional service, to Krishna, Mayavadis. How do we have spiritual discussion with these people? Thank you. That's my first answer. Give prasadam. Any other method? Yeah, we can give gifts to the to them. Harinam, that's my second answer. No, just by hearing, sometimes people like, everyone likes to eat, everyone likes to dance and chant. They may not like Krishna, but they like those activities of Krishna. Being kind and nice to them, being friendly to all living entities. So, yeah, these are the ways we can have. We may not want to talk directly Krishna conscious topic to them, but by developing a favorable relationship and doing it in connection with Krishna, like giving prasadam, giving gifts like books, showing a nice relationship, harinam, these things will slowly melt their heart. Okay, and they will come to a point where they have the enough piety to appreciate devotional service. Then they'll come to the position where we can explain Krishna consciousness. Yes. Yeah, we can do that with many people, but there are some people who knows about Krishna consciousness and they are inimical towards it. So with them, best thing is to, sometimes we need to, of course depends on circumstances. But I'm talking about more like a demonic people. Like Hiranyakashipu. But of course, it's not. That's the point I'm trying to say. Madhyama stage, this category, we avoid them. But we still serve them in the way of giving prasadam, you know, these type of things. But obviously, depending on how expert the devotee is, if we can really touch the person's heart, a devotee say is always able to do that according to their personal sadhana and everything, they can do. So. So, that's all. Any question? Just try to. Any other comments?
And slowly turns to the prajalpa. So how we start with the Krishna katha and ends also with the Krishna katha.
I'm not the one to answer this. Someone.
Just sometimes a little bit's all right because we need a social life. If we don't associate with the devotees, then we need to associate. So a little bit of it might not be so.
Yes. There's a story that illustrates this point. Srila Prabhupada was in Paris walking with the devotees, and it was the temple then was in a red light district. They were walking early in the morning, and there were still some of the ladies of the night out on the corners. So Prabhupada commented that the French women are known for being very beautiful. He said, in Bengal, the women were known for their beautiful black hair. So because of their long, beautiful black hair, the British used to keep them as prostitutes. And the devotees were kind of silent for a moment. And then one devotee piped up, Prabhupada, Krishna also has long, beautiful black hair. As if to turn the subject back to Krishna Katha. So Prabhupada said, why are you talking about Krishna? We are discussing prostitutes in Bengal. Yes, everybody laughed. So, point is that what I take from that story is that we have to be human beings. We should not want to be holier than the Pope, as they say. And, oh, I'm only talking about Krishna, and you're just talking about... But that, because that isn't compassion. That isn't friendly. That is like none of the relationships that, Raj Harprabhu was describing, you know. Oh, I know more than you. So the point is to that things can be used in Krishna's service. You know, mundane knowledge can be related to Krishna consciousness if we know how to do it. So it's too superficial to just judge if somebody's just quoting a verse or talking about a pastime. That's very nice, but it should be in the context of a normal human relationship according to our level. We don't advance by pretending to be more advanced than we are.
Thank you, Prabhu.
I just have one comment. Sometimes there, you know, practical matters could be considered prajapa, like a devotee may have his life or his activities. So we have to be careful how to, you know, conclude such discussions in favorable of one's devotional service, rather just getting carried away with that as a prajapa, but it could be dovetailed into how you could help this person spiritually become more Krishna conscious.
Just something came to my mind. I think one thing we should be careful to avoid is when the conversation goes in a way where we start criticizing someone or finding fault, especially with devotees, then we can be a bit alert about it. Otherwise, normal discussions, it develops friendly relationship with devotees, and we can use that friendship to serve Krishna. That's fine. Anything? Okay, so...
a huge topic, that's the topic in itself, but like because I think a lot of times there we can have discussions that are masked as spiritual discussions. I have spiritual concerns, but underneath there's a tendency sometimes, you know, to be critical of one another. And so where is that line? Where do you draw that line? Understanding that, oh, I'm concerned about this person or that person, or I'm just meditating on their faults, basically.
Yeah. There's no straightforward answer for it. So sometimes when people come and tell something, they might be telling because something is disturbing them. We can't just say, stop talking about, you're criticizing a devotee. We can't do that, isn't it? So it depends on circumstances and... the devotee, you know, the maturity of the devotees we're discussing. But if you see you're taking pleasure in criticizing someone, then it should be stopped. Then we know in our heart, are we taking pleasure in criticizing or are we talking about some concern? That's just my understanding. Oh, the five things. Truthful, pleasing, beneficial, not agitating someone's mind, and also regularly reciting the Vedic